Today I'm going to be preaching on Can Others See Jesus in Me? And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 56 and 58. And then we're going to jump down and read verses 69 through 75. So Matthew 26, starting in verse 56. And those of you that are able, I'd like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And when those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled, but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now we're going to jump over to verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, we pray today that you will speak to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that your love and your power will shine through us because we want to be the light that others see. And Father, we just pray today that you will speak the message to us, Father. Let everything that comes from my mouth be from you only, Lord. Nothing from my thoughts or own ideas or my flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One day there was a lady crossing a street at a train station when an old man stopped her. He said to the lady, Excuse me, ma'am, but I want to thank you. She looked up surprised and said, Thank me for what? And the man replied, Yes, ma'am, I used to be a ticket collector at the train station, and when you went by, you always gave me a cheerful smile and you always said, Good morning. I knew that smile must come from inside someplace. Then one morning, I saw a Bible in your hand. So I bought one, and I started to read it, and I found out who Jesus was. And from that encounter, I too have been saved. So that man saw something in that lady that really struck him. And, you know, God commands us to be, you know, the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. So that salt, that means we are the love of the Lord and we are to share that with other people that are around us. And what I like about this little story, this woman had no idea what kind of an impact she was making on the life of one person. You know, if we reach one person for Christ, do you know that all of heaven rejoices into the fact that one person comes and has their name added to the Lamb's Book of Life. But here this woman was daily saying hi to this man, and it sparked some intrigue in him, and he's thinking, wow. So what is it about our life? Could we say that our life carries a message like that? I have a good friend who owns a health food store in Marion, and his daughter was there working one day, and I stopped in to pick something up. And as I was in there talking to dear sweet Abby, she's the sweetest young lady you could ever meet, we were talking, and all of a sudden she stopped and she looked at me and she goes, "Can I point out something to you?" I said, "Well, sure, Abby, what is it?" She said, "You have the kindest eyes." She said, "There is a peace about your eyes." And I just wanted to let you know that. And that really struck my heart. It actually made me smile because I never really thought of that. But I started thinking about Christ living in us. And if we are Christian people and Christ lives within our heart, then we should be excited to a point that we reflect that light. See, there's a dark world out there, and there's a lot of people living in darkness, and there's a lot of people who may never experience the love of Christ, number one, because maybe they don't step foot into a church. Number two, maybe they don't really hang around or get around Christian people, so they never have that kind of interaction. But our prayer daily should be, "Lord, let me reach one person today for you." My prayer daily is when I go to, and I'm out, if I'm driving the car or if I'm just at work, I just ask the Lord, "Father, when I leave the house today, I pray that I will be the only Bible maybe somebody sees today." Maybe because, you know, if I share the Word of God, it's going to touch and impact a life some point. Now, I chose the scripture for today's sermon because when I read the scripture, you're probably thinking, "Well, that doesn't really reflect the love of Christ." But what I want you to see out of this is that if we let our flesh get in the way, we as Christians can sometimes actually deny the Lord. And that's exactly what happened to Peter here. Peter had walked with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. He had walked on the water. He had experienced some amazing things. And yet at the time when Jesus was arrested, in verses 56 through 58, you remember reading that it said Peter followed from a distance. Now, you remember Peter's words to Jesus? "I'll always be committed to you, Lord. I'll always be committed. I'll be right there." How many times have we as Christian people have said to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll be right there. I'll never turn my back on you, Lord." And then we get into an instance or a situation, and I'm raising my hand because I'm guilty of it. I'll be the first to admit it. There's been times where I've been like, "Oh boy," you know, in my younger years as a Christian, I'd say, "Well, I really don't want to, you know, let people know I'm a Christian because they'll think I'm weird." And I want people to talk to me and have, you know, I don't want my friends to turn away from me. But it wasn't until my life as I matured as a Christian that I started to really learn that God's Word says that I am not to be joined to the world. I'm supposed to be separate and apart from the world. I'm not supposed to live in sin. So here's Peter at a time in his life where Jesus gets arrested, and now he's really put to the grindstone, isn't he? He's got a choice to make. He says, "Now, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'm always there. I love you." And then here he is following from a distance. And then Peter couldn't take it, so he goes out and sits with the crowd. And here's old Peter, man. He's just like, Ain't nobody going to know. I just wonder if that's kind of what he thought. The Lord's not going to know I'm over here. But Jesus knew the entire time what Peter was going to do, because he told Peter, you will deny me three times. You will deny me. Oh, no, Lord, I won't. Boy, Peter was so sure of himself. But then somebody approaches Peter and says, hey, you're one of those disciples. Peter says, no, I'm not. I don't know that guy. Well, there's strike one. And then somebody else says, oh, and yeah, surely you are one of them. No, no, not me. I don't know him. Peter's basically saying, I never walk with him. So the one who said, I'll never leave you, Lord, has now denied him two times. And then the third time somebody says, you know, people are really catching on. And you know why? Because in that scripture I read, they said that your speech kind of telling on you here. What you have said to us is not making any sense. They knew that Peter was lying. They knew that, see, Peter was so scared because Peter really didn't want to go. He was afraid of going through the same persecution. And in the first scripture I read, you remember what all the disciples did? All those disciples who had walked and talked with Jesus and done all the miracles and seen all this stuff happen, they split and left. And Peter was the only one there following from a distance until he denied Jesus. Wow. Doesn't that feel like the Christian life today? You tell somebody, hey, I got saved. I became a Christian. And then have you ever noticed that people start to, maybe some start to, well, you're going to be one of those weird fanatics, and I really don't want no more part of you. Happened to me. I start telling friends of mine, I got saved at church, at a church deal last night. And I had friends going, well, praise the Lord, that's just fantastic. And you know what I noticed? They started thinking I wasn't very cool anymore. And they started doing their own thing. And so that's what kind of hit me. I was in a situation with like Peter was. The world was no longer looking at me the same way. And it made me feel a little odd. So I kind of started thinking, well, did I do the right thing? But as I read the Bible and got fed the Word, I started to grow in the Lord. And I started to realize how important it was for me to receive this Word and live separate from the world. See, when I'm out in the community or go in the store, I always make it a point. I smile at people and I say hello. Or if I see somebody in the grocery store, you know, trying to get like somebody, they call them mobile shopping carts that for people who can't really get around. And I've seen people reaching up, and I'll stop and say, ma'am or sir, could I get that for you? Yes, please. You know, just the smallest, kindest act. But I'm wanting to show the love of Jesus. Because there are so many people in this world that are hurting and they don't know where to go. They don't have a true Savior, a true friend. And this is what Jesus was to the disciples. He had shared everything with them, and then they bailed on him. They bailed on him. And the Bible says that Peter, he went away and wept bitterly. That's why in my life, I want to draw my heart to the Lord daily. Because I know, number one, that I have to have Jesus to help me live. I can't do it under my own power. And I'm thankful that I get to bow and pray daily. And I'm thankful that I have this Word to read. You know, the more I read this Word, I see different things in Scripture. I have read Scripture over and over and over, and each time the Holy Spirit of the Lord shows me something different about that Word. I know I'm not perfect in this flesh, and I never will be. But I always ask the Lord to let my light shine before others. And I tell God, I want people to see you in me. I don't want them to see me. And you know what? When I've gone to the grocery store or wherever that I've been, I always love to see a smile on somebody else's face. I've run into very angry people. I've run into people who were having a bad day. And I've asked the Lord to put me in those paths so that I can witness and minister. Because, you know, we never know what someone else is going through. We really don't. The other morning, I was driving down the highway, and there was a car beside me. And so I'm in the passing lane, and this car's in the right lane, and I'm going the speed limit. And this car, or this other SUV, boy, it just comes zipping through traffic and got up alongside of me. And next thing I know, it's coming right over on top of me. And I couldn't go anywhere because there's oncoming traffic, and I didn't want to hit somebody head on. So I laid on the horn, and my heart jumped up in my chest, and it scared me. It did. It really scared me. And that person whipped their car back in the other lane. And finally, I got to a point where the young lady, it was a young girl, about 30-some years old, had gotten out of her vehicle, and she came up to me, and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir." She was on her telephone. I thought, well, I was pretty mad at first. I was pretty upset because I thought one thing I can't stand is I can't stand to see somebody driving in traffic and have a cell phone in their hand going like this. Or they're looking down because they can't detach from that thing. And then all of a sudden, I started thinking, I can't be angry. Because there may have been times that I did something to somebody else that made them upset. So I looked at her and I said, "You know what?" I said, "It's quite all right." I said, "Just please be more careful what you're doing in traffic. Please be careful." But I said, "It's okay." And she says, No, I'm really sorry." And she was about in tears. And I said, "It's okay. I forgive you." Because, you know, from that occurrence, I could have left a good influence or I could have left a bad influence. And I would have hated to have left a bad influence and then that girl find out that I was a preacher. And then she say, "Boy, that guy wasn't very nice." So I'm always having to ask the Lord, "Father, show me the way that you look at people so I can look at them in the same way. Because I want to know what I need to know, Lord, what I need to say to folks when I'm witnessing." You know, I can remember times as a young child that I would go with my grandparents. My grandfather was a pastor, and they showed the love of the Lord. I mean, they smiled all the time. My grandmother could have a migraine headache and be sick with the stomach flu, and she would still smile. And if she could, she would get up and cook food for people. And she would serve others. And I remember her life. And that's what made such an impact on me. Being around good Christian people made me feel good. That's why God wants us to fellowship with one another. Because the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," which means we ought to get together for church service and we ought to be happy that we're here. And we should reflect God's love off of one another and then take that on out into the world. You know, so my grandma, with her attitude and her character, it really rubbed off on me. So see, the people you hang out with and the things you do is really what you become. Basically said. So, as I got older, when I became a Christian and when I started preaching, I started seeing people in a whole different light. I started understanding what God's love was. And I always looked beyond the surface of people. And my grandma came to visit one summer, her and grandpa, and I took her to Walmart with me. And I saw this little sweet lady that her husband was in the nursing home. And her name was Mrs. Small, and we walked up to her, and I just about burst in tears because I knew what a hard time she was going through. And I went up and just gave her a hug and asked her if I could pray for her, and we prayed right there in Walmart. And when we walked away, the first thing my grandmother said was, she said, "Jimmy Glenn, I'm so proud of you." And it's nothing because of what I did, but it's because I let the love of the Lord work in my life. See, we're going to be in places in this world, even in our workplaces. We're going to work around some of the most vulgar people. You know, Peter was a fisherman. And if a lot of you know, when these men were together, it was a pretty vulgar situation. There's a lot of language being used. I've talked to Christian people who worked in the coal mines, and they said, "Boy, if you could hear some of the things, the jokes and all that these guys talk about, it's terrible." They said, "You would be surprised." I said, "Ain't nothing surprises me. I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've worked around it." And people go, "Well, doesn't that bother you, preacher?" I said, "No, not really." "Well, how come?" I said, "Because I focus and concentrate on the Lord. I put aside what they're saying. People are going to say things about me, or they're going to discuss things that aren't the best, or their life may not be the best. But if I show the love of Jesus Christ, then little by little, their life is going to be impacted. And before long, there's going to be a transforming nature take place in their heart." And that's where it has to start. So, you know, it amazes me, though, how Peter could turn on the Lord the way that he did during this time. You know, I really think that if Peter would have held on to the commitment, if this situation would have been different, then Peter should have been right there by Jesus' side. If he said, "Lord, I'll never leave you, I'm here for you," he should have been right there with him. He should have never denied him. But you know what? We're human beings. We're going to fail in our life. But we have got to make the commitment every day to walk in the footsteps of the Lord. I like that poem, "Footprints in the Sand." That is one of my favorites. And I love that part where the guy is saying to the Lord, "But you know, Lord, there's been times that I only saw one set of footprints." And that's when the Lord says, "I carried you during those times." Isn't it good to know that even when we do fail, that God's love still, it never changes. God still loves us unconditionally. And God still wants the best for us. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. And when Jesus, I just wonder too, when that rooster crowed and Peter had denied him the third time. I've seen some music videos where the person playing Jesus locked eyes on Peter. I mean, locked eyes on him and gave him the look. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I thought, boy, how tough that must have been for Jesus and for Peter. And then in my own life, I'm like, "Lord, for those times that I have been that way, that I have turned against you, I am so sorry, Lord. Help me to never do that again." A friend of mine worked in the prison system, and there was a female correctional officer that he was friends with. And he knew that she was going on vacation, and they were going to go, jet ski and boating and all this other stuff. They like to be on the water. And he said that he had shared Christ before, not maybe in a deep way, but maybe here and there, kind of, he said, dropped subtle hints about his life and being a Christian. And he said he knew the Lord wanted him to witness to her, and he put it off. And the next day came, and he put it off again. The next day came, and the Lord said, "I want you to witness to this girl," and he put it off again. Well, finally, she went off on vacation, And she had professed that she didn't know Christ, she wasn't a Christian, and didn't want to be. She went on vacation, went out on the water on a jet ski, and was involved in a terrible accident, was killed. And word traveled back to my friend, and he said, I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to live with myself again after having denied Christ that way. Sometimes we're going to be put in wrong situations. Sometimes we're going to be put around the wrong people. And do you even know? And I'm going to say this. It happens in every church around the world. There's going to be people in the church who don't reflect the love of the Lord, but it's not up to us to be their judge when we're in these situations. You know what our spot is? Our spot is to be humble. Our spot is to be obedient, loving. We are to be a witness. I mean, our life should show it. We should be excited. We should be happy in the Lord. And when we are around people who live in the world, they should see that in us. I'll tell you what, I would rather lose my friends and my family and have God and have Jesus, knowing that for all of eternity I'll be in heaven. I would rather lose all that and gain what's ahead of me rather than to say, no, I'll embrace the temporary and give up the eternal. Oh, there's been times I wanted to do that. There's been times that I wanted to take in and hold on to what I thought was important, what I didn't want to lose because of Christ. And then when I start seeing where God's Word says, this will all pass away one day. It's all going to be gone. I used to want, you know, the nicest house. I used to want the nicest car. And that's just because my dad always wanted the best for us. And my dad was kind of like that. He always wanted the best of everything. You know what? I don't care what kind of car I drive. And I don't care what my house looks. Well, I want my house to be nice looking, but, you know. But I don't need some mansion on a hill on this earth. I've got a place being prepared for me in heaven. So if I want to get there, if I want to please the Lord, then I know that when I'm in the wrong situations, when I'm with the wrong people, I want those folks to know that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I want my light to shine before people. I'll share this last story and then I'm going to close. Back when I was young and I was a policeman, that's what I wanted to do for my profession and my career, because my whole family's done it. And I got into it, and I really didn't like it because you had to be so rough with people, and I had to be, you take people down. I didn't like that. That didn't fit my character as a Christian. I was 21. I was starting to preach, and it just didn't suit me. And the Lord dealt with me on it and said, I don't want you being this policeman. So I finally got away from it and I surrendered to preaching, and God opened one door after another. God really has blessed my life over the years. And then in 2014, I remember this was in March, I had a friend of mine approach me who was a policeman. Janine and I were living right there in Energy, and he says, We need some policemen really bad at the police department. He said, you used to be a cop, weren't you? And I go, yeah. He goes, well, why don't you come down and fill out an application? And I thought, you know, that sounds like a good idea. And I didn't pray about this. I want you to know that. I didn't pray about it. So I went on down there. I filled out the application, turned it in, and then went to the village board meeting the next week. And then I got a call a few days later from the chief. He says, come on down, we want to talk to you. All righty, so I went through the background checks, did all that. Next thing you know, they bring me in, they give me a uniform and my badge, and I put duty belt on, all that stuff, and I thought, wow, I kind of missed this. And then I started feeling a part of my heart start to kind of leave me. I wasn't operating in what the Lord wanted me to do. But the one thing I want to point out about this whole thing, though, is something one of the sergeants said to me one night. I would go into work, and I would work Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday nights. And I would work 8 to 10 hours. And one night, the sergeant walked up to me, and he said this. He goes, what time are you going home tonight? And I says, well, I'm supposed to be done tonight at midnight. He goes, oh. I said, why do you ask? He says, well, I wondered if you would maybe go home a little bit earlier. He said, there's something I've noticed about you. I said, what's that? He said, when you're on duty, he said, nothing ever happens here. We don't get any calls. Nothing ever happens. And this is true words. And this man's not a Christian. But this man said to me, he said, when I look at you, it's like there's a white cloud protecting you. He said, but every time that you go home, he said, we start getting calls like crazy, and then you're home, and we're, you know, a couple guys short because someone else went home, and then we're swamped all night. He said, if you wouldn't come into work maybe so early, maybe we could get more calls and get them even. He said, but it seems like there's a protection around you. And I went home that night, and I walked through the front door, and I sat down, and Janine said, talk to me. What's the matter? I said, I want to talk about it. She goes, talk to me. She goes, I'm your wife. Talk to me. I said, okay. And I told her what happened, and she said, quit. I've been telling you, you're not in the right place. You're not doing the right thing. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And I said, yeah, but I'm showing the Lord. And I was telling people about the Lord around the police department. And you know what? They weren't liking it. But I was letting the light and the love show. Now, I don't know if that ever impacted anybody's life or not, but all I know is I went in the next day, I took the uniforms and my badges, everything, went right in, walked in the chief's office, said, Sean, I quit. He goes, what? What's the matter? Not where I'm supposed to be. And do you know, though, during that one month, right before I quit, I was so miserable. My light wasn't shining, and things weren't happening like I wanted them to. So I came back to the Lord. I said, Father, I've sinned. Please forgive me and restore me. Renew me. Help me to be a witness. And do you know that the Lord, I just could feel His arms being wrapped all around me. He says, come to me, my child. And just in the same way, Peter was restored to Jesus even after he had denied Him 3 times. So what can we do to avoid being like Peter? Well, we need to walk with the Lord. We need to walk with Him. We need to pray daily. And we need to let our lives reflect that word. Because you know what? One day, we're either going to take our last breath and leave this body, or that trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be taken out of here, and we will stand before the Lord, and the Lord will be our judge, and we will give an account for every action, every deed, every word spoken. And you know what? Until I really thought about that one day, it never really shook me to the core, but the more I thought about it, it shook me to the core. And I thought, I don't ever want to face that. I want the Lord to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want. I love people. Like I said, I love coming here every Sunday. Y'all just treat me with such kindness and love and smiles. I love it. And when I get up of a morning on Sunday, I'm like, hey, I get to go preach today over at Bosque Dale. And I know everybody's names now pretty much. And so, but I love it. And because I'm looking forward to the fellowship. I'm not saying anything bad about where we go to church when I'm not preaching, but it just seemed like sometimes when you go there, it just seemed like there's just not as much happiness sometimes. And that happens. But we can't let ourselves, the salt of the earth, we can't lose our flavor. We cannot lose our flavor. So how in the world then do we keep on? We've got to keep on by letting God lead us, by letting God guide us, and let Him be master of everything. And then our light will shine. People will know when you're around them. I mean, really, if I went into a group of sinners and they say, oh, well, you're one of those Christians, and if I said, oh, no, I'm not, they know I'm lying because it shows. I mean, if a sergeant could see that in me, and I'd never really witnessed to him, but if he could see that in me and he was a sinner, wow. So, Lord, let my light shine. Let others see Jesus in me. That's what I want. That's what my prayer is.